The gift of the Holy Spirit was one of Jesus' final acts before his ascension. We find the disciples, the seeds of the new church, hiding from the world. And yet, Jesus reveals himself and shares with them the gift that will strengthen them all and move them out of their locked room. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. This is John 20, verses 19 through 23. Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. A young man was apprenticed to a master artist who produced the most beautiful stained glass windows in all the world. The apprentice, however, could not approach the master's genius. So he thought to himself, "I'll just borrow my master's tools," thinking that was the answer. So after several weeks of struggle, the young man approaches the master and says, "I'm not doing any better with your tools than I did with mine." And the teacher replied, "So it's not the tools of the master that you need, it's the spirit of the master that you need." When I was growing up in the church, Pentecost wasn't a day, it was a season. And so many times Christmas and Easter are proclaimed to be the big seasons of the church, but for me, Epiphany and Pentecost are just as important as the Christmas and Easter event. The coming of the Holy Spirit into the lives of the disciples to stir them up from a place where they are apathetic and frightened, maybe angry and grief-stricken. The coming of the Holy Spirit to enter into their lives when all hope is lost. Now, to me, that's the power of Pentecost. I call this John text the third text of Pentecost. We heard the first text about Peter's sermon. We heard the second text about the beginning of the church and what the characteristics of the new church was to be, how people were to be in fellowship with one another, in study with one another, in the power of the Holy Spirit, sharing all their possessions in common. And here we have the Johannine text of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit come into the lives of these early believers? By Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit into them, just as God breathed life in the Genesis text. I love these Pentecostal texts. You see, because Jesus had made a promise. He had told them back in John 15 that "I will pray the Father send to you an advocate, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with you." He says to them in that text, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Where does the Holy Spirit meet the disciples post the ascension of Jesus? In their troubled hearts and in their fear and grief. And it was a great moment. The Spirit arrives by itself out of nowhere through the breath of God, and they are transformed. They are given power from on high. What would it be like if you and I lived our lives as though our power came from on high? I think that that is what the young man learned as he apprenticed the master of the stained glass. He learned that what he needed was a transformation of his heart, and that he indeed needed the spirit of the master. And so in this text, we see that the spirit of the master rests upon the disciples and fills them with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus has promised. The spirit comes on its own in its free will, and it empowers the disciples to spread the word of God throughout all of the land to all of the non-believers. Who are they sequestered from? They're in fear of the Jews. Who are they sent to convert? The very people in whom they are in fear, the Jews. I want you to think about this for a minute. The Spirit of the Master, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and enters the soul of these people in this act on Pentecost, and it collides with their own spirit. Now, you and I, each of us, has our own spirit within us. That spirit is the spirit that drives us, empowers us, embarrasses us, frightens us, causes trouble for us. It's a spirit that typically wants only what's good for me, myself, and I. We also have a spirit that is born in sin and is defiant. A spirit that takes pride in itself and in our own actions. A spirit that wants to be in control, that wants to be independent. It is the spirit within us that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to transform, to change us, so that we are no longer filled with our own defiant spirit, but we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, a spirit to do right, to act appropriately, to bring the word of God to those who are bound up in sin. It is God's spirit that came to the people that day of Pentecost and collided with their own spirit. It's the same spirit that comes to us in our baptism and collides with our spirit for control of our lives. It's the same spirit which comes to us through the word and the sacraments and collides with our spirit day in and day out. You see, because of our fallen nature, because of our sin, we're filled with pride. Pride in ourselves, pride which says we don't need God in our lives. We're independent, self-made. And it is that spirit within us that the Holy Spirit comes to replace each and every day. In the fables of Aesop, this fable is told. It's about a tall, straight fir tree which stood towering up into the heavens and into the forest. It was very proud of its height and dignity, and it despised all the little shrubs that grew beneath him. One day, a bramble asked him, Why are you so proud? Because, says the fir tree, I look upon myself as the finest tree of beauty in all of the forest. My top shoots up, and my branches make cloud cover. My branches spread around a constant loveliness of who I am, while you, little bramble, crawl around on the ground, likely to be crushed by every animal that comes near to you. The bramble thinks for a minute, and then the bramble replies, "This may be true enough. But when the woodsman has marked you for cutting down, and when the axe comes to be applied to your root, I fancy you wish you will change places with me." The moral: pride always goes before a fall. Thank you, Aesop. You see, you and I are filled with pride, a pride that says we don't need God or one another, a pride that says we don't need anything in our lives but what our own selfish desires motivate us to get. But still, God enters in. God comes to us with God's very own Holy Spirit to replace the spirit of pride with his spirit of love and kindness and mercy and grace. God doesn't want us to fall. God doesn't want us to fail. God wants us to place our lives in His holy arms and be filled with His power in the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus, the work of salvation was begun, and now through the Holy Spirit, the work of salvation continues in our lives. You see, God wants us to live in Him and through Him. A pastor once wrote, "Once in a while, the Spirit comes. Sometimes He stings the soul. Sometimes He shakes it. Sometimes He troubles our conscience. Sometimes He soothes it. Sometimes He heals our pain. Sometimes He just helps us to endure it. He lifts the clouds just long enough for us to glimpse the city that was made not with hands, in order that we can go back and take up our cross and follow Him." You see, the Holy Spirit has been abiding in the church since that very first Pentecostal moment. The Holy Spirit is abiding in the church so that it can enter our spirit, call us forward faithfully, courageously, boldly, to be the kind of people that God intends for us to be. You see, each day we are given a new opportunity to replace our pride with God's Holy Spirit. Each and every day we're given a new opportunity to renew ourselves and to allow God's Holy Spirit help us be the people that Jesus has called us to be, even so that we bear His cross into the world. See, the Holy Spirit works constantly with our spirit so that our lives may be transformed and may be made new and rewarding. It is good for us to look at the metaphor of the butterfly at Easter, what that poor little caterpillar had to go through to become that beautiful butterfly. But if we only look at that as a metaphor, and if we do not see that as our role as pilgrims along the journey, if we do not know that we have to go through transformation to do that which God calls us to do and not be overwhelmed about it, then we do not know the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One more story about the touch of the Master. Wishing to encourage her young son's progress on the piano, a mother took her boy to a concert of a very famous musician. And after they were seated, the mother spotted a friend in the audience and walked down the aisle to greet that friend. Seizing the opportunity to explore the wonders of the concert hall, the little boy rose, and eventually he made his way through the door that said, "No admittance." When the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, the mother returns to her seat and she finds that her child is missing. And suddenly the curtains are parted and the spotlights are focused on the impressive Steinway sitting there on the stage waiting for the Master to come pray. And in horror, the mother saw her little boy sitting at that very grand piano, innocently picking out the only tune he knew, "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star." And at that moment, the great piano master made his entrance, quickly moved to the piano, and whispered in the little boy's ear, "Don't stop. Keep playing." And then, leaning over, he reached down with his left hand and he began filling in the bass part. And soon his right arm reached around to the other side of the child and he added a running obbligato. I don't know what that is, but it must be impressive, something impressive to do. And together, the old master and the young novice transformed a frightening situation into a wonderfully creative experience. And the audience sat mesmerized. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit when it works in our lives, will transform us, and the world will be mesmerized when we share and show the spirit of the master that lives within us. May it also be true for you.